Glory to God. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, really good to see you in the house of God. We didn't have you stand up and do this, but my goodness, you want to stand up and say hello to one another? I'm okay with that. This is church. Praise God. This is the house of God where we love one another. And that's one of the reasons why that it's part of our mission. You probably read the banner as you come in. Love works. Love works in our lives. Praise the Lord. Love works in our life. Praise the Lord. Love works in our life. Praise the Lord. He brings change. We're being changed from glory to glory. Line upon line. My goodness, this is not even in my notes. Changed. We're being changed by His power. Somebody said to me, and it was a challenge in our board meetings. It was a challenge. They said, Pastor Ron, sure looks good on paper. Well, and I said, I'm glad it looks good on paper, but I'm not looking for it to be on paper. I'm looking to be written in our hearts. Glory to God. That it becomes a lifestyle. I didn't think of it as a negative. I thought of it as a challenge. Praise God. That we need to, as ministers here at Bethel, we need to share with you this, the concept that love works in us. And today we will discover that love works for us. Whoa, good news. Glory to Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. I found a portion of scripture. I didn't put it on the computer, but it's found in Psalm 117, verse 2, and it says, His unfailing love for us is powerful. Woo. His unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. And then the psalmist goes, praise the Lord. Somehow that writer, he just got excited there. Wanted to praise the Lord. When you think about how powerful the love of God is. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. By the way, I just thought I would let you loose a little bit, and it's okay to say praise the Lord or hallelujah or amen, ouch, or with you, Pastor, something. Glory to Jesus. And I'm not looking for that response, but if it's something that's inside you, you can't help it. You want to say praise the Lord. I'm okay with that. The psalmist did it. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm not here just to do a service. I'm not into just doing services. I'm into receiving the power of God and the presence of God. Because without the presence of God, we're just having another service. Just saying. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, there is another verse in Romans chapter 8. And then I'm going to get to the notes and you're going to be able to see them. Romans chapter 8 verse 34 says, Who will then condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. Okay. And He's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Hey, that's worth saying to your neighbor. Hey, God's done all that for us. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, He's done all that for us. We're just getting started. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we have a wonderful portion of Scripture in John chapter 3, 16. Why don't we say it all together? Because you know it by heart anyway. For God... that whosoever thank you, Jesus. That's a key, wonderful portion of Scripture. For God so loved. You know, love is an interesting thing. When we consider love, most of us might think about the relationship that we have with a spouse. What about, you know, when you first met? Did you feel it? Woo! When you first met that one, did you get some, what should I say, butterflies? Something happened. I shouldn't really say that to tell you, but anyway, I was taken out a girl. This was before Shannon and I met, of course. I was taken out another girl, and I took her out, and I'll tell you how I felt. She made me sick. I was so uptight. I was so much in knots. I was sick to my stomach. She really did make me sick. I was that uptight in her presence. Obviously, I could not marry that one. But I'll tell you what. When my wife come up to me, I was there in her church, visiting her church. And you know what? She come up to me and she said, "I really like your music." She took my hand and I went, "Ooh, this one's a keeper." There was something about that handshake. She got it together. Of course, my dad tells me all the time now, "Come on, Ron, Shannon's a keeper." Well, you know, when you find a relationship that you know is a keeper, you know, when you find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's a keeper. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you say, well, how did this relationship begin? God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And He gives. See, the love of God is not based on butterflies or Willy or chilies. The love of God is something God demonstrated. And how did He demonstrate it? He gave His only Son. It did not come through a feeling. He just had this feeling He loved the world. No, He created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God had already decided beforehand. He knew that that man would go away from Him, that men would sin. Yet God knew. The Bible says the Lamb was slain before the very foundation of the world. God had you and I in mind. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. You know what happens in a relationship? Whether, you know, if you don't feel love, you go, "I wonder what's going on there." Or they spoke to me in a wrong way. Or there is stuff that goes on in a relationship and it seems like it's a little bit of, it's based on feeling. Sometimes it's not even based on real truth. But I'll tell you what real truth is. God loved you. And God gave His Son for you. Thank you, Jesus. That's not based on Willy and Chili's. That's based on the fact that God demonstrated His love. And everyone who believes, turn your neighbor and say, "Everyone." That includes you and that includes me. Praise God. Everyone who believes in Him will not perish and have eternal life. God did not send His Son. This is an interesting scripture. Because God did not send His Son to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That's the interesting thing about some of the things that go on in relationships. We're always, sometimes we're finding fault, looking at the stuff that goes on in somebody's life, and you did this, and you did that. And before long, there's disruption and disunity, and stuff happens where there is division. And God really is not really about division. Although Jesus did say on one occasion, he said, "I did not come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword." Because there is a line, there is a decision that needs to be made. This is not a, well, I'll serve him today and perhaps tomorrow I'll do something different. Never forget a friend of mine, I was just in my teens, and one of the guys, we had just heard a wonderful testimony about a fellow who'd been in drugs and prison and the whole thing, and I think that was Ernie Hollins. Some of you may remember Ernie Hollins that traveled around, but Ernie had been in prison. And anyway, my friend came to me after the church, and he says, "I think I'll go out into the world and forget all this nonsense." He said, "At least when I come back, I'll have a testimony." And I went, "Why would you do that?" That's what he did. He went out and got himself a testimony, all right. Almost killed himself. We make a decision to follow Jesus. There's a song that says, "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided," I put that in a high key, "to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For God so loved the world, he did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came to save it." Now, you can't help but talk about what he did without talking about Romans chapter 5. And you'll see it on the screen. Maybe it's really hard to see. You'll see that there is... Romans talks about one man, Adam. See, Adam sinned, and sin entered the world. God told him not to partake of the fruit of that particular tree. We don't know what it was, but it was a fruit. And Eve, she partook of the tree, and she gave some to Adam. And because of that one man's action, all sin entered the world. And sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone. For everyone sinned. Everyone died. The results led to Adam being condemned to die. In fact, God said, "In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Verse 17 of Romans 5 says, "The sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many." Now, because of that one man, that one person that disobeyed God, many became sinners. And God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. Sin, and people sinned more and more. In fact, sin ruled over all people. But here's what Christ came to do. It's really hard for you to see on this. Well, maybe it's not. But you can see that one man, Jesus Christ, what his work did. God's wonderful gift of grace and forgiveness came through Christ. See, sin came to the world, into the world through Adam. But through one man, Jesus Christ, grace, the gift of grace was given, and forgiveness came to many. Death came to many, but through Christ, forgiveness came to many. Adam, for that one man, there came condemnation, but the result of God's gracious gift is very different. God's free gift was our being led into a right relationship with God. Even though we were guilty. In fact, even when we're in our sin, Christ died for us. We weren't good in the beginning, but Christ came in and changed that whole sin problem. Christ, one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and brings a new life for everyone. On Adam's side, there was condemnation, but through Christ comes right relationship. Because Adam disobeyed God, through that one act of sin, many became sinners. Because when Christ came, many will be made righteous. God's law was given to all people so we could see how sinful that we were. But when Christ came, as people sinned more and more, yet God's grace, the Bible says God's grace much more abounds. Is sin a problem? Yes, it was. It was a problem. Is sin a problem now? You say, well, yeah. But you can't deal with a sin outside of Christ. We can't live this Christian life with our own strength, our own will, our own might. See, sin ruled. But now God's wonderful grace, God's wonderful grace rules more than sin. If we allow Him to work in us and allow the Holy Spirit. That's the key. If we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us. Interesting. Jesus said, you shall receive power. And then He says to be, not to do witnessing, but to be witnesses. Praise God. So where does this leave us? Well, it leaves us with a decision. Because love works. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And we allow the love of God entrance into our life when we say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Now, my wife will tell you that when she came into Christ, she came in because she watched a drama, Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And it was pictured, the flames of hell. Yes, there is a hell. Yes, there is. Yes, there is a heaven. But coming to Christ is not about having fire insurance. You understand what I'm saying? If I receive Christ, I'm going to escape hell. Well, there are people that do that. But I'll tell you, in this day and age, the love of God much more abounds. And the love of God does not lead us into condemnation or fear. Listen, listen, listen. The Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. So it's not about me being fearful of hell. It's about me receiving the love of God so that I am free from fear. And condemnation. Praise God. Now, you may be here and you've never really committed your life to Jesus. I might suggest to you that it's probably the best experience, the best decision you would ever make to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. Glory. And allow the love of God to transform you. And allow the love of God to begin the process of renewing your mind. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father. thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Open our eyes so that we'll see your love. And open our ears so that we will hear it. And soften our hearts so we'll be able to take it in and receive it. Now, I want to give you opportunity. Look at me for a moment. I'm not going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes so that you can raise your hands and no one see. I am interested in the fact that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you wish to receive Him, can I see your hand? You want to receive Christ. You've never done it. Thank you, Father, for giving us opportunity. Challenge us with your love today. Allow us to be partakers of your love and help us to share your love with and for others, to others. Oh God, thank you for your work and how you have worked for us in sending Christ. But we want to work and we want to work with you. We want to partner with you with what you have done in our lives for us, that we want you to live in us and through us. Wow. Thank you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Before we go, I would like you to stand. I want to thank you for your participation in the service today. And if there's something we can do to help facilitate your spiritual growth, please call us up. You have the information in the bulletin. You can get a hold of us. We want to be able to assist in any way we can. If you have some prayer requests, please let us know so that we can pray for them and have others that are believers as well. The Bible, by the way, says that these signs will accompany them that believe. It does not say these signs will accompany preachers only. But anyone who is a believer, who has Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, you have the right and the privilege to go to God. Thank you, Jesus. And you can talk to Him at any moment. You don't have to wait for church time. In fact, we call this a worship service. But do you know the reality is because of this relationship that we have that we can worship the Lord day and night? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now let me bless you in Jesus' name. I ask that the light of your countenance and your presence would not only go before your people, but you'll be their rear guide, their rear guard, that even though they cannot see the attacks that come around, that sometimes it comes from behind. Sometimes it comes from those even that are close and they did not even recognize. But I ask, Lord, that you would guard them and you would put your angels, in fact, allow your angels to encamp around about them. Ooh, glory to God. Let your angels encamp around about them in Jesus' name. For those that need healing in their bodies, I thank you, Lord, for healing that comes by your Holy Spirit. And even angels, glory to God. I ask, Lord, that you would bless these people even in their night visions, in their night dreams. I ask, Father, that you would guard them and guide them in their pathway that they walk. I ask that the light of your countenance would so come upon them that others would recognize your presence on them. They will cause to become questions, Lord, that will open doors. And that, Lord, that people will not understand why blessing has come into the room. But I'm asking you, Father, by your Spirit that lives in them, that you'll allow them to change the atmosphere of the place where they work, of the place where they live, of the place that they dwell, of the places that they step into. I thank you, Father, for this in the mighty and the strong name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We bless them in your name as they go from this place. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. God bless you, folks, on your journey this week.